I want you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We've started talking about relationships. The very first week we talked about our relationship to the Word of God. And the reason why we started there is obviously because it is the relationship book. You go through the Bible tells us about other relationships. We talked then about how there are a variety of relationships that you and I could find ourselves in life. Now tonight, I'm going to first, before I read the passage of Scripture, I'm going to tell you just a brief little story, and then we'll read the Scripture, and we'll get started on tonight's lesson. A few months ago, when I was out soul winning, I met a man that was very obviously what we would call a street person. And I met him after church on a Sunday, and I was dressed in my suit, of course, and I went over and I spoke to him for a moment, and I said to him, sir, I said, boy, I just want to stop and tell you something. And he said, you been to church? And I said, I have been. And he said, oh, he said, I love God. He said, I love God so much. I said, well, I said, I missed you at church today. He said, well, I don't go to church. And I said, well, I want to talk to you about that. He said, but sir, I love God. I love God a lot. And I said, well, I said, I would just like to talk to you about God and some things about God. And I got ready to witness to him. And he had a bottle. He'd been drinking. And I said, you know, that stuff right there, it won't do you much good in life. It'll do nothing but hurt you. And he said, well, I want you to know I love God. He said, I might drink, but I love God. He said, I didn't go to church today, but I love God. And he began to tell me all the things that he was doing wrong. But he followed each statement with, but I love God. Now, I hope you all do realize that's not what love is. That's not loving God. Tonight, the lesson is our relationship with God the Father. You say, oh, you're just going to tell us we ought to love God. Yeah, yes, but maybe in a little different way. Hear me out. I'll show you something that I think is very important to us. And so, you know, I'm excited about a series of lessons on the subject of relationships. But folks, we need to love God. That's why we were created. And this is foundational in regard to all the other relationships of life. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to start reading in verse number 25. Why don't you stand with me for just a second? It won't take us long. Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 25, I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. And the Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law, how readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you'll look back at me, a lawyer, the Bible says, tempts or is testing Jesus. And he asks him this question. I love what happens. This guy says, well, you know, the question was asked about getting to heaven. And Jesus said, well, what does the Bible say about it? And the guy begins to give an answer. But there's a verse here. In one verse, it is a powerhouse verse in regard to our relationship with God in light of him wanting us to love him. Verse 27 says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's a way to love God. And then it says, and with all thy soul. That's another kind of love. Then it says, and with all thy strength. God adds to it again. And then with all thy mind. There are four different approaches to loving God in one verse. I want to talk to us tonight about our relationship with God or God the Father. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Take the simple lesson, multiply it in our minds, brand it into our consciences that we might do what is best for you and what's best for us, and that is to love you the way you want to be loved. Give us a wonderful evening. Hinder the interruptions and Father, increase our attention so we might be better Christians when we leave here tonight than when we came. Bless us now, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The street person, and this was not a man, the story I told you, he was not a man that was out of his mind. You know, every once in a while you'll meet someone that's just been out there and they've had a rugged life, and maybe the drugs or the alcohol or whatever, and they're disconnected from reality. This man wasn't like that. He was totally convinced that he loved God in spite of all the things he was doing against God and opposed to God. Now, you say that's ridiculous that he would think that way. Well, be careful, Christian. It may be that we think we love God, and maybe we don't love God like we think we do. We would give ourselves credit for it, just like he was giving himself credit for loving God. Our duty toward God is probably summed up in this one verse quite well. It said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." There's a four-point love outline right there, how you and I are to love God. We're to love him from every angle, not just from yours, but from every angle that he wants to be loved. We're to love him, and it said, with all. Those words are important, with all. When you give your all, it's different than just giving a little portion of you with all. We're to love him completely. We're to love him thoroughly. We're to love him in some different ways. We're to love him his way, not just our way. Let me help everybody in here with your relationships. Learn to love the people that you ought to love in a way that they want to be loved. Yeah, there's some people say, well, I tried to love her and she wouldn't take it, and so phooey on that. I did my part. You know what? It might be a good idea for you to figure out how she receives love. If you really want to love, then you love in a way that the receiver is apt to absorb it. You know what I want to do for God? I want to love God the way that God wants to be loved. We go on. We're to love him his way, not just our way. We're to love him all the way. And he is worthy of our love. He deserves our love. We're to love him without reservation. We're to love him. You say, why? Well, he did first love us. The Bible says in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you." This is an amazing thing to me. The greatest lover ever desires our love. You need to learn to love God. You need to grow your love for God. I hope everybody here realizes it, and if you don't realize it, I want you to realize it. God created you to love him. You go back to the book of Genesis when man was created, and the Bible says, God said, "Let us create man in our image." Do you hear the word "us" and "our"? Those are words of plurality. Who was there? It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were there in the beginning. And God said, "Let us create man in our image." Now, what did they have going on? God the Father loved God the Son. God the Son loved God the Holy Spirit. They all loved each other. There was a pure relationship there. And they said, "Let us make man in our image." You know what God was saying? The only thing that would be better than just having God the Holy Spirit and God the Son is if I would create somebody else that could love me like you guys love me, in reference to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus. You were created to love God. You weren't created to eat three meals a day. You were not created to go make money. You were not just created to get you a boat and get you a car and get you a nice house. You were created for God. You say, what's God want from me? I think the ultimate thing God wants from you is love. I think one of the reasons why God saved you instead of let you die and go to hell is because he originally created you to love him, and you wouldn't be able to love him in hell. So he saved our sin-sick soul so that we could go to heaven and do what he created us to do, and that is to love him for all eternity. And if you're not loving God, you're failing as a Christian. If you're not loving God, you're failing as a human being. You are eliminating the very purpose for which he created you. You were created to love him. Loving Him should be at the top of your list. It ought to be at the top of your to-do list. You should do all that you do for Him because you love Him. In other words, as you serve God, make sure you're doing it because you love God. Folks, no matter what your life's accomplishments are, no matter how great your earthly success is, if you don't love God, you have failed at the true purpose of your creation. You're to love God. I'm to love God. A long time ago, I really wanted to work at trying to love God. I don't do it right and I don't do it well. But somehow God's allowed this. I wake up in the morning every day of the year, and the first thing I say is this: "Good morning, Lord. I love you." That's how I start my day, every day. Now, I don't love Him like I'm supposed to throughout the rest of the day, but I'm just so glad that somehow in my conscious mind I've been able to brand it into my thinking that when I open my eyes in the morning, the first thing I say to Him is not, "Give me money. God, prosper me today. I want something." No, I want Him to receive the purpose for my creation, which is love from one of His created beings. Now, I want to show you some things in one verse here that I think will really, really help you if you'll allow it. In this one verse, we are given four approaches in regard to our relationship with God the Father. First of all, and they're simple, you've already seen it. Number one, we are to love God emotionally. It said there in Luke 10:27, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." All thy heart. The heart here is in reference to the seat of our emotions. When God mentions the heart, there's two types of heart. There is that organ inside your chest. Most of the time, the Bible does not refer to the organ. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about the emotions, the seat of your emotions, the computer that runs your emotions, if you will. And God said, "I want you to love me with all your heart." If you're going to get emotional about something, why don't you get emotional when you love God? God wants your emotions to love Him. And why shouldn't they? Folks, you know, we wrongly let our emotions love things that they should not. God ought to at least be on your emotional love list. And so, you know, this is not teaching when God says, "Love me with all your heart," and I say to you, "Love God with your emotion." He's not talking about coming to church and having uncontrolled emotional outbursts and saying it's their displays of love where you roll around in an aisle and you babble at the mouth and you know, you're getting all wild and physical. That's not what He's talking about. God is saying that you as an individual in your private time and in your life ought to be loving God emotionally. You have all sorts of other loves. There's some of you, you express more love to your cat and your dog than you do to your God. And I'm not against you loving your cat and your dog, but I am for you loving your God. You ought to love your God. It's teaching us that God gave us our emotions. And you do know who gave you your emotions, right? God created you with emotion, and you thought it was all about you and the rest of the human race when God gave you your emotions primarily so you could use your emotions the right way to love God. Emotional love can be calm, steadfast, principled, gentle, but you're to love God. And notice there it said we should love Him emotionally with all our hearts. The word "all," you say, what's that mean in the Greek? All. All. If you want to get all emotionally wound up about something, do it so as to love God with all your heart. We are to use our emotions, our hearts, to love God, and God ought to be at the top of your love list. So, that passage says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." So number one, if you want to have the right relationship with God, you need to love Him with your emotions, with your heart. Number two, we are to love God spiritually. Spiritually. Folks, people who are lost have a dead spirit living within them. When you get saved, your spirit is born again. Lost people don't love God. And I'll get letters because this will go on the internet. Somebody will be mad at me that I said that. But lost people don't love God. That's for you to love God spiritually, you got to be born again. It's a good reason for somebody that's not saved to get saved. You want to really love God? They say, I'm a good person. I'd really like to love God. Well, if you've rejected His Son, God's not really thinking you're really loving Him. Now, notice there, it says in Luke 10:27, I'll call it 10:27b, it says, and with all thy soul, with all thy soul. This love is a spiritual love. So He said, I want you to love me with your heart. Now He goes to a different approach. First, He said, I want you to love me with your heart. It's like you're going through the front door of love, and you're going to do it with your heart or your emotions. Then God said, well, I'm going to take you around to the side of this thing, and we're going to approach it from another angle. He said, now I want you to love me with all your soul. This soul love, this love is a deep love. This love is an agape love. There's two kinds of love mentioned in the Bible. They're both Greek words. Don't let that scare you. One is agape. That is the deep, abiding love of God. And then there's a love called phileo love. That's earthly, physical love. Humans love phileo. They have to be saved to love with agape, but agape love is the love of God. And this love, when God said, I want you to love me with all your heart, He meant our emotions. Then He said, and with all your soul. Now He's saying, I want you to love me spiritually. I want you to love me more than just emotionally, but spiritually. Emotional love is a little shallow when it's all by itself. Loving God with your soul is loving God more so at God's level and loving God with God's love. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? How do I love God with God's love? Well, try this. Why don't you pray and say, God, help me to love you the way I'm supposed to love you. And then God would help you to love Him in a supernatural way. You see, if all you try to do is love God with your love, that's a little anemic. The greatest love on the face of the earth is agape love. And that comes from God to you, through you, to someone else. If you and I only try to love God with human love, I think He's getting cheated. Doesn't God deserve supernatural love? Sure He does. So I'm going to pray to God and say, God, help me to love you the way you deserve to be loved. Wouldn't it be something if God would pick up on that and help you to do that? Wouldn't it be good if God could look down and say, that guy right there, he agapes me. He doesn't just like me. He really loves me right. Ask God to help you to love Him. Ask God to teach you how to love Him. Ask God to help you to love Him with His powerful love, not your weak human love. And I'm not against your human love, but it is limited. It's not enough. It won't accomplish. When the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, charity never faileth, the word charity there is the word love, and it's not talking, hey, human love fails. Agape love never fails. It just never fails. Ask God to help you to love Him with His powerful love. And remember, it said that we are to love Him with all. The verse says, and with all thy soul. There's the word all again. You know who's supposed to be on the top of your agape love list? It's supposed to be God. And if we're not careful, we would think God gave us agape love so we could go love the lost. And He did. We could love other Christians. And He did. But you know, God created you to love Him. And when He took agape love and made it available to the human race, and it's not stingy for God because He's all worthy. God said, I could help you to agape me if you would. And God said, that's kind of what I was hoping for. We'll ask for agape love to love the lost and ask for agape love to love our enemy and ask for agape love to love our husband or our wife or other Christians. And then we'll leave God out and we'll try to love God with our human love, which is frail and semi-anemic when God deserves the best. And so, I'm to love God with all my heart. That's my emotion. I'm to love God with all my soul. That's a spiritual love. That's loving Him above all other things. That's deep within you. He knows He is at the top of your love list. You know, did you know that God is a love evaluator? He knows what you love. He knows what you love. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. He knows the real you. Love God for God's sake. Love God for God's sake. That's what he wants. Love him because you want to, and not just because it's your duty. You know, if I say to Mrs. Owens, I say, sweetheart, I love you. And if she looked back at me and said, why? And said, well, I have to. Now, I probably won't get chocolate chip cookies tomorrow morning. Now, I am commanded by God to love my wife. But you know, honey, I don't just love you because I'm commanded to. I like doing it. I want to love you. You say, pastor, you're just insistent that I love God. If you're taking it that way, you're not getting chocolate chip cookies from God tomorrow. Because God wants you to want to love him. God wants you to be excited about that. Love him because you want to do it. Love God. Hey, you know what we do? I preach this, and I'll keep on preaching this. I think you and I as Christians, we're to learn to love people unconditionally. That doesn't mean we like everything they do, but we need to learn to love people unconditionally. Whether they're right or wrong, we love them. Can I tell you something? If you and I are challenged by the thought of loving people unconditionally, don't you think we ought to love God unconditionally? But yet there are Christians that say, God, I'm not feeling well, and I don't love you right now. You know, there are people that get sick. They get mad at God and stop loving God because they're sick. Folks, if there's any force in the universe that deserves unconditional love, it's God. You ought to love God whether rich or poor, whether healthy or unhealthy. You ought to love God. And God ought to know that. You ought to say what Job said. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That was basically Job while he was being torn to shreds by the devil. With God's permission, Job said, I don't care what happens, I'm going to love God, and you're not going to knock that out of me. God ought to know that about you. God ought to know that you're going to love him unconditionally. And so, we are to love God emotionally. That's where it said, with all thy heart. We are to love God spiritually. That's where it said, with all thy soul. Love God unconditionally. Love him because of who he is, not because of what you get out of him. Some people say, well, you know, hey, that's how we treat our spouses. I'll be real good to you right now because I want something. Then you're a dirty dog an hour later. It's not supposed to be that way. We're to be good to them because of who they are, not because of what we want. And don't you think it'd be good if we would love God? Hey, you think God would like it sometime if you'd come around and butter him up and love on him and you didn't want something? Now, we're pretty good at, oh God, you're a great God. You're a wonderful God. Oh, you're the great God of Moses, Elijah, and Abraham. Oh God, you've got all power. You're wonderful. You're marvelous. You're stupendous. You're anointed, the author, the amen, the beginning, the begotten, the beloved, the bridegroom, the chief cornerstone, the daysman, the dayspring, the daystar, the elect, the finisher of our faith. You're God! And I need a few bucks. Don't you think he would like it if you came to him someday and you loved on him and you didn't really want to butter him up to get something, but he could look down and see the purity in your heart that you're there to love him. You're there to love him. But thirdly, we're to love God physically. If you read and listened in Luke 10:27, it says, it uses the words, and with all thy strength. He told us our heart, that's emotional. He told us our soul, that's spiritual. Now with all our strength, physically. The word strength here is referring to physical strength. I think God wants you to love him with your body. Serve him with your body. Just so you all know, God did not give you your body just as a tool to use for you. God gave you your body as a tool and a method to express love and to serve him. In John 14:21, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Here, see, your body should be devoted to expressing love to God. That's one reason you ought to keep it clean. God said a clean body is an expression of love to me. Keep your body healthy. Keep your body holy. Ladies, Hey, listen, I believe that when two people come together for marriage, and not until then, but when two people come together for marriage, then they give their bodies to each other. And that's something that's scriptural. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible even says, defraud you not one the other, except it be for a time with consent. Now, the way you can fast and pray. But you're to come together physically if you're married. If you're not married, you're to keep your hands off of each other until you get married. But let me explain something. Your body, you say, well, my body was given to me that I might share it with my husband, or my body was given to me that I might share it with my wife. That's okay, but you need to understand the ultimate purpose of your body was not to share with another human being. The ultimate purpose of your body was for you to love your God. You're to love God with your strength. Mary, for instance, uses the tool of her physical body to express her love to Jesus. I'll read it to you, John 12:3. It says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary anoints the feet of Jesus with some oil. She uses her hair and her hands. She gets rebuked, and Jesus praises her for it. Now, notice, though, we are to love God with all our strength, and it said all. Listen, I like to work. I like to work hard. I like to sweat. I like to be tired from working. There's a thrill to that. There's an accomplishment to that. It's amazing, you and I in the human race. Now, let's say that work isn't the thing that you like to throw yourself into. And if it's not, you need to learn that. But let's say it's playing a game. Let's say it's playing sports. You say, I like to play basketball. I like to play football. I like to run track. Well, I just throw myself into that. That just energizes me. Let me tell you something, folks. God gave us energy, and God gave us our bodies, and God gave us strength. And he watches us throw our strength into a lot of things. Here he said, you are to love me with all your strength. That means there ought to be times when you wear your body out, proving to God that you love him by obeying him. We call it the work of the Lord. You've heard that term? Do you ever do any work for God, serving God, and you're wore out from it? You ought to be. Now you say, I got wore out playing basketball. Well, have you ever been wore out from serving God? Well, when was the last time you were? He said, I'll tell you what, preacher, you preach long, I'm wore out every time you get done. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, the people go out and they'll work to make money. They'll be wore out. There are people that go play basketball or football or baseball or tennis or whatever, and they'll be wore out. A family, husbands and wives, can have activity together and be wore out. But let me ask you this question. When was the last time you were wore out physically from asserting yourself and proving that you love God? He said, love me with all your strength. That strength is physical strength to which he refers. Folks, listen, I think physically would include using your lips to tell him you love him. I think physically loving him means you only take your body to places that would please God. I think if you want to physically please God, you never take your body anywhere that is not an expression of the holiness and the love of God. We use our strength to do many things. To love him should be at the greatest investment of our physical strength. So in this one verse, we see four different angles in how you and I can have a proper relationship with God and love God the way he deserves it. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's emotional. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul. That's a spiritual agape love. Then love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, and that is a physical love. And then finally, and we'll be done. Then he said, with all thy mind. I believe we're to love God mentally, or if you will, intellectually. With all thy mind. Do you see that these four, they're all love? But there are four different, total different angles in how we ought to be expressing love to God. Now with all thy mind. You know that God did not give you your mind just so you could learn a bunch of facts and figures and get educated. Get this. Here's what I think. I think true education will result in loving God more. If you're as brilliant as what you think you are, and you're spiritual, then you ought to love God the most. Really brilliant people, people that are God smart, will use their smarts to love God more. God gave you your mind so it could love Him. Again, I try to study my wife. In so doing, it helps me to better express my love to her. How does she want to be loved? So I'll study that. I think my wife would tell you, if she mentions to me, if my wife said to me, boy, the other day I was at a store and I bought this particular candy bar and I couldn't believe how good that thing tastes, she may get that same candy bar. I'll go get it and give it to her for weeks and weeks and weeks in a row. You say, why? Hey, she just told me a way I could love her. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to be listening for something that your God wants from you. And the minute you find out, you say, boy, there's a way for me to express my love to God. And I'm going to do that. Mentally, we ought to love God. It said, with all thy mind. God is to be studied, not so you learn a bunch of facts and figures. You ought to study God so you can learn how to love God right. Do you concentrate with your mind on loving God? You ever sit down and just think about God and why you ought to love Him? Do your thoughts express love to God? Is your mind in submission to Him as an expression of love? I think the most impressive accomplishment of your mind is to be that of expression of love to God. I think there are geniuses whose minds are weaker than the simplest child who mentally loves God. You give me somebody that's got the highest IQ on the face of the earth, but they don't love God, and give me a 3-year-old boy that truly loves God, that boy's got more mental sense than that genius does. The mind was not given for you and I to become special. The mind was given so we could exalt the one who is special. And it said, with all thy mind. You know, if you love someone, you think about them. You need to mentally lock in on God and get Him in your mind and tell Him you love Him and tell Him frequently that you love Him and tell Him with strength that you love Him and with passion that you love Him and get Him to help you to have the love that you need to give back to Him. Folks, don't allow anything in your mind that would hinder your loving God. Your mind, it was created so that you would better love God. So we ought to love Him emotionally. We ought to love Him spiritually. We ought to love Him physically. We ought to love Him mentally. And that's what I see when it says, and He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. When I spoke to the street person, they gave me every apology about all the things they were doing against God, but insisted that they loved Him. I did not say this because I wasn't trying to offend them. But in my heart, I thought this. You have no idea what it means to love God. No idea. Just saying that you do is not enough. And folks, sometimes we say we love God. But just so you know, just saying you do is not enough. In Owens chapter 2, it says, the proof's in the pudding. And you ought to love Him in 4 different directions according to this. You're to love Him emotionally. You are to love Him spiritually. You're to love Him physically. And you're to love Him mentally. A challenge. Let's work on our relationship with God the Father. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question tonight is this. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you're not born again, you ought to get saved. You ought to trust Jesus as your Savior. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Then, may I say, if you are a born-again Christian, you ought to love God. Take the verse of tonight and let it challenge you. There's some of you you love in certain ways. Why don't you broaden that love? Look at some different ways that you can love God. Learn from it. Be challenged by it. Better your relationship with God. Folks, any time you better your relationship with God, your human relationships will increase. They'll get better. God and His book are the relationship masters. They're the ones that will make your relationships of life better. Who here would say, Pastor, there's no doubt, in the teaching tonight, I see something, it's going to help me, it can change my life, I see it, I want to apply it to my life about this thing of loving God and having a proper relationship with God the Father. If God has spoken to your heart, raise your hand and let God see it. That way He knows. And if you need a moment at the altar, you're welcome to come. You may put those hands down. Let me say this. It may be that in a moment when we start the altar call, maybe you ought to come to the altar for a second and just pray and say, God, I love You. Help me to love You Your way. I want to love You, not with just my love, but I want to love You with that agape, that supernatural love that You deserve. Maybe you ought to come asking. Some of you have never prayed that prayer. It would be good. It'll take your love life with Jesus to a new level. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Do you love God the right way? Do you love Him enough? You say you do, but hey, talk's cheap. That fella that was out drinking and partying and all of that, that said to me, oh, I love God, I love God, I love God. Oh my, I thought how distant he is from reality and the truth. Hey, if you say, I've loved God with my emotions, I'm glad and I want you to keep doing that, but take it up a notch. Love Him spiritually. Love Him with your body's strength. Put your strength into it. Love Him with your mind. Sermon tonight's called Our Relationship with God the Father. Ushers, if you will just grab a few of the financial statements in case somebody didn't get one, we'll make those available. One more time through the song, Mrs. Young, please. One more time. This is the last time through our song. And you can have a seat there. Go ahead and sit down if you will.